This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again, this is your friend Brent and our friend Ken, and we're going through a little series here called Grace and Truth. This is the second one. Last time we were with you, we talked about grace and truth in terms of what it would be like to take a grace-filled approach as a newcomer into a new culture. And I kind of went on a little bit about what that might look like, how growing up in a certain way may predispose us to think more in terms of wrong or bad and stuff. But we're going to go into a slightly different part of grace and truth today, and I'll just turn it over to Ken. Go ahead.
Hi there, Brent. Last time, yes, we did talk about how Christ was full of grace and truth, John 1:14. 100% each, not 50-50, but completely full of grace and truth. And it's interesting how our orientation to life, our foundation in learning experience, our home experiences will tend to predispose us toward one side or the other.
Yeah.
And if we can have a balance, we will do so much better.
Good point.
One of the examples of Christ being full of grace and truth comes from John chapter 4. Christ talked with a Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. In this encounter, I find it amazing how Christ chose his words. He probably knew the Pentateuch by heart, and yet he didn't start quoting scripture. And it would have been very easy for him to start, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," etc.
Yeah.
And draw her back to the scriptures. But he didn't.
Mm-mm.
He listened. He determined that her felt need was that she was thirsty. She said, "Give me to drink." And using that felt need, he was able to talk to her about a much more important matter, her soul. So I asked myself, why is this illustration of grace and truth so important for us? Sometimes it's so easy for us to start reciting the scripture. At least we start with the Ten Commandments, or we declare our theology. We've worked so hard to get our facts straight. We want to provide the right spiritual answers. But could it be that our hearers are asking for grace so that they can accept the truth? There's that old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Wow, that's really interesting. You know, I was thinking as you were talking about that, a lot of people who listen maybe don't always have the freedom to talk about everything that they would like to talk about. And so they end up having to talk around things. Well, it's interesting here in this example that you used, Christ, he of everyone had the right to talk about what he wanted to talk about. And he could have quoted, like you said, scripture, but he listened, and he listened for her need, and he responded to her need. There's an awful lot of cross-cultural good communication strategies built right in those few or short verses. Because a lot of times most of us can't talk about the spiritual answers until we've built that bedrock of good fellowship and trust and relationship with those people. You know, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. That's really a very important situation there. And I think, you know, I don't know what it is about other nationalities, but for us from North America, we have to produce results. So we can't focus, you know, there's almost like, well, we can't focus on the normal, everyday life kinds of things. We have to get down to the discussion of what we think is important.
Yep.
And really, life is important to everybody. You know, the focus on life means that people hear you as a real human being. You know, what if I were to go to wherever you are and follow you around? And right after you left various people, I went up to them and told them I was taking a poll. Now, this would never happen. But, you know, and I said, tell me about that person. Let's just pretend it was Ken. And Ken, I was doing this to you. You know, what would people say afterwards? Would they say, well, that guy was kind of pushy? Well, what do you mean he was kind of pushy? Well, he only wanted to talk about his stuff. He never wanted to hear my stuff.
Yes.
And for me, that wouldn't be a good image to leave in my little community. I would much rather hear the people say, well, you know, I don't know much about him yet, but he's a nice guy. He knows how to ask about the weather, and he had a funny comment about the rainstorm last night. And I learned something about where he came from on the farm in North America, and I never knew that. You know, I never knew oranges grew on trees or something.
Of course.
You know, we come from a big orange producing area, and it always amazes me how people are surprised that oranges grow on trees. And I think, well, where did you think they grew? You know, but anyway, that's beside the point. But I would much rather have somebody telling me that, or thinking of me, or you for that matter, that he was an interesting person that they probably would talk to again, that they wouldn't avoid. I wouldn't want somebody saying, well, the next time I see him coming, I'm going to cross the other side of the street. Now, sometimes people are going to do that about us because of what we wear or how we look or even how we walk. And there's some things that we might not be able to control very effectively. But I think if we picked the little things and said, yeah, I'm going to really try and work on this kind of stuff. I'm going to try and what I leave in my wake is people wanting to get to know me more. That would be a good thing.
Brent, that is so good. I fully agree with you. And the law can never make us perfect. The law killeth, the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life. Mm. And if we can balance out the rules, the orientations with a lot of grace, with a lot of interpersonal caring for each other, it seems that we will do so much better. Our children will thrive. Mm. If we can be consistent, yes, in discipline, but also consistent in love, balancing out both grace and truth.
That's great. You know, I think the whole thing, I talk so much about balance. I'm sure people who've been listening to me all this time think, oh, no, here he goes on balance again. But there is that balance. And the issue is, how do you instill the freedom of grace and still have the control of truth? And I don't know that any of us is going to have an easy, exact answer that applies to everything.
Sure.
And I encourage you, listeners out there, to think about how to make this fit into your local context. You know, there are probably very strict rules of behavior and cultural issues, roles of men and women and children, governmental regulations. And that's all appropriate because you have to abide by those kinds of things if you expect to stay someplace. But at the same time, you can see that it's either an oppressive burden or simply part of the stuff you have to figure out on a daily basis. You know, I talk with people who live in areas that they feel are so different from back home that they feel oppressed by that. They say, I can't do anything. I can't be anything. I can't, you know. And I say, well, maybe instead of focusing on what you can't be, focus on what you can be.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you can do? You know, one family was saying how difficult it was to find family times together. And I asked, well, what for you is a good family time together? And it was kind of funny because their expectation of a good family time together was one which almost sounded like they couldn't enjoy themselves and say they had a good time unless they went to Disneyland, for example.
Sure.
In other words, they had to travel a long way to a place that they had to spend a lot of money. This is how I would see it, to do a lot of guided things. And I thought, well, okay, you know, that would really be great for when you're at home on vacation. But you're not going to be on vacation for another year and a half, for example. So what can you do? You know,
yes.
You know, then is there a Disneyland close by? Well, no. Okay, shoot. Well, there that goes at. Well, what are some other things you could do? Well, in this particular situation, this family had a pretty rough time, but they found out that they could do a lot of things right around their house. So for them, a good family vacation became a picnic in the backyard. Now, it's just how you're going to look at it. That may seem like nothing important, but I think it is. So I want you to think of what some of your expectations are and apply this whole grace and truth stuff we're talking about. See if you need to flip over and look at the other side. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of MemberCare Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.